want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. And we would love to have you come and be a part of that, but we'll show more about us here in just a little bit. First of all, I want to take this opportunity to welcome you to this week at WMIE, which is the offering that helps fund the operations of the radio station here. This signal, they continue to expand frequencies, to expand the range of the broadcast so that the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached throughout Brevard County and through the AM simulcast on WWBC. A lot of these programs go out as well, and it reaches all the way to the Bahamas and sometimes even, you know, down as far as West Palm Beach. It is a powerful, powerful tool that God has blessed us with here in Brevard County. And so electricity isn't free. And neither is the equipment that they have here in the studios. And so if this program has been a blessing to you, I want to encourage you to make an appointment to call. You don't have to make an appointment with me or make an appointment with yourself to call 632-1000, 632-1000 sometime this week and say, I want to partner with you to help Christian Radio to stay on the air here in Brevard County. So if you are able to, tell them you listen to the Refresh Radio broadcast. One of the men of our church was talking with someone here a couple of weeks ago, and they said, you know, I listen to your pastor every morning, Monday through Friday. In fact, he said, I listen to preaching on the radio from, I think, 6:30 in the morning to 9:30 of a morning. And, thank God that tool is there. I am just so thankful for those who listen, and anybody that we can be a blessing to with this broadcast, we want to do so. So again, 632-1000, if you can commit to helping support this radio station for 6 months, that would be a great blessing. A number of our people at the church help support the airtime that we have here. It's not free, but we are thankful for the blessing that is WMI here in Brevard County. So 632-1000, give them a call this week and tell them you heard about it here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. So we also want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, because they are helping us on a regular basis. They go to our church, and their offerings help fund our broadcast. And so if they can be a blessing to you, 759-3284. They are experts in the air conditioning field. Call Bill Andriak, 759-3284. And if you are in the central Brevard County area, he can get your unit up and running or diagnose the problem for you. He will help you stay cool this summer. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 1. We discussed this a little bit on Friday's broadcast, but I want to touch on it today a little bit more. And it says in verse number 1, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So there's a couple of things that are talked about here. One of the great verses in the Bible, and it says, "Come now, come now." Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Don't delay. But come now. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Do it right now. Come and have your God encounter right now. I know that my wife, I was her chauffeur there for a week while her vehicle had a transmission issue, and so I was driving her back and forth to work. And for her, her commute time is her time to be with Jesus, and so she likes that quiet time before she goes in. She likes to get herself in the right spiritual condition so that she can be in the right emotional condition when she goes in and deals with people's physical problems, so that she can represent Jesus adequately. Come. It doesn't matter if you're a construction worker, a mechanic, if you're an engineer, if you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, if you're a housewife, if you're a nurse. It doesn't matter if you're in retail sales or restaurant work. It doesn't matter what type of work you do. He says, come now and let us reason together. And I have this very simple philosophy in life. And that is, I like to defer to expertise. If there is an expert in the field, then it would be foolish of me to presume that I know more about something than they do. Now, that extends in every area except for one that I'm very familiar with, where I encounter a lot of people who know more about God than I do. Even though they're not living for him, haven't read the Bible, haven't studied it, haven't gone to Bible college or anything like that. They are experts in all things God-related. And whenever you find a person who is unteachable, I'm reminded of a sign that I saw at a restaurant down in O'Galley a number of years ago. I believe it was a Texas Roadhouse, and it said, "Never argue with a fool. People might not be able to tell the difference between the two of you." And so whenever I find a person that is unteachable, then I don't waste my time trying to teach them until they are ready to learn, until they have exhausted themselves looking at every other available means. I'm just waiting for them to come. It's not that I'm going to deprive them. I'm going to make myself available, but when they are ready to learn. I just have this picture right now of somebody who's trying to force learning into somebody's head. You can take both hands and both feet and try and stuff it into somebody's head, but you cannot force a person to learn something that they do not wish to learn. And God says, come now and let us reason together. There are a lot of people, and they've heard these questions, I believe, more than they actually have these questions. And they ask, well, what about this condition, and what about that condition? And there are some wonderful, wonderful defenders of the faith. A friend of mine, his daughter he's an Assemblies of God minister. He's my presbyter. His daughter has gone to Oxford. Her husband, they met at Oxford, and she knows theology amazingly well. She is actually what is called an apologist, not in a person who goes around and apologizes, but one who goes around and defends the faith. She actually works with Ravi Zacharias's ministry, and goes to college campuses and reasons with people and addresses their concerns, their questions. There are a lot of books that are available out there that deal with the hard questions that humanity has. So please, just because you're asking the question, do not assume that because you have the question that God has no answer. God has the answers to every man's question. He has the answer to every man's question. And so God says, come now, let us reason together. And so it's one thing if you try to match wits with God. There are a lot of very intelligent people who just do not get it. I remember when I first came to Brevard County, my wife and I worked alternating shifts. I would work the morning, and then she would come and pick me up. She would bring our son. I would take him home, and she would work. We came out of a retail environment. She would work until the closing of the store, and I would go back and I would pick her up. And the one thing you don't want to do, if that's the case, is you don't want your wife to be standing outside a closed retail store and you not be there. And so I would get there early, and I was listening to this AM talk program at the time. I could not even begin to tell you what this guy's name was, but I will never forget the comment. And the comment was quite simply this. He said, "I read the Bible once and I didn't understand it, and so I just rejected Christianity all out." And it's like, wow. You know, a lot of people said, you know, my parents made me go to church when I was young, and I when I got old enough, I just rejected it. It wasn't for me. And, you know, my parents made me do a lot of things when I was growing up. They made me brush my teeth. They made me take a bath. They made me take a nap. I saw a funny thing on a sign here a few weeks ago as I was driving my wife back and forth to work. And it said this: "If I refuse to take a nap, does that mean that I'm resisting arrest?" And I chuckled when I saw it. I told it to her because she didn't see it. And she's like, "Oh man, that's a groaner. That's a groaner." It's a lot like a lot of the jokes that I tell at church. It's just a groaner. When I had been there 20 years, at my 20-year anniversary, they sent a card around and all of that. And as I read the card, the number one thing that people kept saying was they liked my jokes. They thought they were funny. And I looked at them. I said, "When I tell a joke here in church, not one of you laughs. I mean, y'all just kind of roll your eyes. And here y'all are telling me that you all like my jokes. You're sending me mixed signals, and you're actually encouraging me to continue to tell these groaner jokes." And so I still do. But come now. Let us reason together. I want to ask you, are you okay when you come together to match wits with God? If you look in the book of Job, you will find that Job starts off, because there's a lot of things that are going on in Job's life that Job doesn't understand. There are things that are going on. He's experienced, you know, he's done a lot of good. So much so that it got God's attention. God was the one who initiated the process. He said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And the reality was, God knew of some things that were in Job's heart that Job didn't even realize were in there. But Job, at the very end, has this encounter, and God says to him, "Now I have some questions for you. You've sprouted off your questions. You thought that you were in the right. And now I've got some questions for you. Come, let's reason together. I'm going to ask you some questions, and you're going to answer me." And so I encourage you that if today you are not walking in intimacy and fellowship with God, that you have this meeting where you come now, let us reason together. But when you come, I want to encourage you to do this. Come as a student, not as an expert. Come as a student, not as an expert. A few weeks ago, we were installing some new technology at our church. Our video projector had gone out. We made some upgrades. One of the men in my church does that for a living. He installs simulators and audio visual and all of that sort of stuff. And it would be stupid for me to tell him how to do that job. Not because I'm not the pastor. I have to make sure that things work. I was the one that said I would really like this up and running by Easter, and I will help. And I, you know, but when the expert speaks and says, "Pastor, this is the way that it needs to be done," then my hands go back and say, "If that's the way that it needs to be done, then that's the way that it needs to be done." That's what I do. I defer to expertise. If I go to the doctor, I want to I want to defer to his expertise. If I go to a lawyer, you know, I had a conversation with a lawyer one time, and he said, and I will pass this advice on. He said, Pastor, whenever you cross the threshold into a courtroom, you have entered my world. Don't ever enter my world without a lawyer. Okay? And so that's free advice from an expert. And you know what? That was the last time that I ever went into a courtroom other than just as an observer. I wasn't there that day as if I was in trouble. I was there ministering to a family of our church, and I went in and found myself operating in an environment that I was unaware of the protocol, unaware of the procedures, unaware of a lot of things that happened in the judicial system. And so what I did was, when I came out and I realized that I was unprepared, that the first thing I did was consult an expert. He said, don't ever enter my world without having an advocate. Don't ever enter my world without having an attorney. And I want to encourage you today that Jesus is our advocate. The Father is the judge, and Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And here's the thing, God intentionally forgets and forgives your sin, but Satan is not so inclined. He remembers everything you've ever done. He's keeping a list of all of the things that you have done grievously, and he's bringing them up, and you need the Son of God, who is Jesus Christ our Lord, there as your advocate, saying, you know what? Your sins are like scarlet. They shall be white as snow. They are red like crimson. They shall be as wool. And Jesus stands and testifies, and he says, Father, it is true. Their sins were like scarlet. It is true. They were red like crimson. They were stained. They were contaminated. But, Father, I shed my blood for their sins. I paid their sin debt. And I present them to you as the bride of Christ. I present them to you forgiven and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I present them to you today, not as someone who is stained, but someone who has been purified. Do you know that it says that he is going to present the church as the bride of Christ without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, without defect? How can you take a flawed human being and present them without spot, without blemish? Only by the grace of Jesus Christ. Come now and let us reason together. So God is not afraid of you bringing him the circumstances, the questions that you have, but when you do, do not come in arrogance. Do not come in bitterness. Come saying, God, I need you to help me understand your perspective on this. Do you know that there are a lot of people who blame God for famine in parts of the world that God had presented them with everything they needed to have a healthy agricultural system, and yet political environments were of such that people came in and destroyed the farmland. And so what they did was they created a starvation situation in that climate to promote political instability because they wanted their political system in place. That's not God's fault. That's man's fault. That's the devil's fault. It's not God's fault. Don't blame God for things that the devil did. I'm constantly amazed at how when things are going well, nobody gives any thought to God. When things are going bad, the first thing that they do is people shake their fist at God and blame him. God gets all of the blame for everything that goes bad and none of the credit when anything goes good. The devil gets a free pass all of the time. I just don't understand how people do that at all. Oral Roberts, you know, made a very simple explanation. And he said this: God is good and the devil is bad. God is good and the devil is bad. If there are good things going on in your life, you know that God is the one who gives every good and perfect gift. If things are not going well, if they are going bad, if you are under attack, if you see evil, if you see wickedness in this world, then you understand that you have a very real adversary. Heaven is real and hell is real. Both of them are eternal destinations. And God here in Isaiah chapter 1 is in reaching out and saying, come, let's reason together. Your present reality does not have to be your future reality. He said, look at the condition. You have to look at the verb tenses there. Though your sins are like scarlet, though they are red like crimson, that is their present. That was the people's present reality. He said, if you will come and let us reason together, I can make them white as snow. I can make them like wool. I can change your ugly present reality into a beautiful future if you will let me. Look at what it says, verses 19 and 20. Say this, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So right there, you see, as God is proposing this negotiation session with this nation, he says, you have two choices. There are two ifs that are mentioned here. You have the choice to be willing and obedient, or you have the choice to refuse and rebel. But please understand that rebellion in the sight of God is as the sin of witchcraft. It is manipulation. It is control. And God's not into witchcraft. He's not into that. He's not going to bless rebellion. He's not going to bless rebellion. And so for me, my life's goal is to find myself ready to embrace the will of God instead of rebelling against the will of God. My choice is to obey rather than to refuse. What's your choice? What's your choice? I will tell you this, that the sweetest spot that you will ever find in life is being right in the center of God's will. And with that reality being established, you have to understand that the devil's goal is to move you as far away from being in the center of God's will as he can. I'm telling you, that word is for somebody right now. I don't believe I have ever shared that strategy of the devil before. That if you and I, if this being in the center of God's will is the ideal spot for us, Satan's goal is to move us as far away as he can from the center of God's will. He wants us, you know, he'll take a little bit out of alignment. The Bible says he who has sinned in one area is guilty in all of the areas. And I don't want you to think that means that it's hopeless. You need to come reason together and say, okay, God, he says in 1 John 1:9, if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do not accept your present detachment from God or your present sin condition as a precursor to your future reality. God wants to come in and transform the situation. Here's the thing. Your choice determines your future. Okay, this is what God says. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Okay, and he says, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. Now, I don't know about you, but eating sounds better to me than being devoured. You know, eating sounds better than being the one that has just been served up like a steak, You know, and here it's talking about being devoured by the sword. You shall be destroyed. You shall eat the good of the land, or you will have somebody come in and they will attack you with military force. They will devour the nation as it exists. God does not bless rebellion. Satan rebelled against God. Lucifer rebelled against God, and he was evicted from heaven. And so I want to encourage you today, if there is any area in your life that rebellion exists, repent of it. Repent of it right now. Because not only is having an effect upon you, but it is minimizing what God can do. It is removing God's blessing from your life. What was it? James Dean, I believe it was, who made a movie called Rebel Without a Cause or Rebel with a Cause. But anyway, he became like the epitome of the rebel back in the 50s. Died a very, very young death. I want you to know that God does not romanticize rebellion, but he does bless obedience. He does bless repentance. He does bless, and I pray that this week that you will begin to eat the good of the land, that you will find yourself repenting of your sins, accepting Jesus' forgiveness for your situation, and saying, you know what, God, I delight to do your will. I want to obey you because you bless obedience. You bless obedience. I tell this story at church, but there was one time I was working on a problem, a math problem, and it was in Mrs. Daniels' trig and analytics class in 10th grade, and I was supposed to be in geometry, but they had assigned me to that class, I guess, because of my grades. And I went in there and I worked on a problem, and you worked odd number problems at the beginning of the week in class, and then you did the evens when you went home. The odds had the answers in the back of the book, and I worked it and I got a different answer, and all my classmates said, yeah, your answer is right. And so I thought I had found an error in the textbook. I went up and the teacher looked at it and said, 9 times 7 is 63, not 56. And I walked back to my class realizing that even though I was so sure that I was in the right, I was actually in the wrong. I had made an error in calculation. Today, reason together with God and allow him to bring you to that place where he can bless you and prosper you. 632-1000, call in an offering today. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh Radio Broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like a